Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Sometimes I climb so far, only to backslide. Lord, I may be sliding back, but I will not abandon you.
We believe that this weekend will be the weekend that will change our life, and our life will never be the same. And this will not only happen to you, but it will happen to me and Pastor Da as well.
Yeah.
I notice one thing, that every time we come together with the hungry heart and with the expectation and with faith, we expect something to happen. And when God show up in that place, when the presence of God show up, we will be changed on the inside of us. Something changed on the inside,
yes,
that
right.
You cannot do it with only head knowledge,
yes,
or with just a good sit in the Bible school. But because He shows up and He begins to work on the inside of us, and something will change on the inside. God is still in the business of changing life. Is that right?
Yes.
And before He can change the city, before He can change your relative, your loved ones, He needs to change you first.
Yes.
So that you can go out to be the instrument to bring Him to change other people. He needs to work in you first. So revival always happens in us first. Is that right?
Yes.
If we don't allow God to change us first, then how can God will work through us to change other people? God needs to work in us so that He can work through us. So this is important, that we are willing to be changed. We need to be hungry for God all the days of our life. We need to humble ourselves. You notice in the Bible says like this, humble yourself.
Amen.
There are two things about humility here. You either humble yourself, seek God to change you, or you make God to humble you. I don't want God to humble me. Because if God humbled me, I'm in trouble. Like the children of Israel, God humbled them by spit up the ground, and then some people fall into the ground and die, and then they have to humble before God. I don't want that kind of the situation. I want to humble myself before the Lord first. And when we humble ourselves before the Lord, we just always like children. You remember Jesus said that if you want to come to the kingdom of God, we need to be like children. We need to be simple people.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
We don't need to act prideful and look religious and try to be a big kahuna. We all children of God. We just simple toward God, hungry for God, come to God like children, and let God minister to us and let God change us. Amen.
Amen.
That's why I love the fire of God. That's why I love the presence of God and revival. Because as long as we stay in revival, as long as we stay in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, as long as we allow the Holy Spirit to come and touch us, we will not come into religion. We will not come into tradition. Because religion and tradition will destroy the church eventually. Religion will come in and cause us, all of us, to be prideful and to be, you know, full of law and rules and controlling, and eventually the church will be full of self-righteous people looking down on the sinners, looking down on the world, and we just become like the Pharisees and religious leaders in the time of Jesus Christ. But the fire of God come to burn us, to humble us, so we become like God. We become loving.
Amen.
Compassionate and merciful and understanding people. Amen.
Amen.
I remember before I come into the fire of God, I always kind of looked down on the non-believers as a Christian. But after the fire of God burned me and Pastor Da, we changed so much. Now we love sinners. We just love them. We don't judge them anymore. We look at sinners, we don't judge them anymore. We just love them with the love of God. Now I understand more how God loves people. God never come and judge people. God,
yes,
come and love them and want to pull them out,
yes,
from sins and,
amen,
pull them out from bondage. That is God. God loves people. Is that right?
Amen.
God doesn't come and condemn people. Our God is not a God of condemnation. Amen. So today, I would like to share about the file of God. I don't know how long I can share because of the limited time, but at least to help you understand. Before I share the scripture, I want to kind of give you some background and some personal experiences first. As months, as years go by, I have been more and more convinced that every church needs the file of God, needs revival. And I believe that in the end time like this, the Lord Jesus Christ wants to restore this aspect of the Christian life to the church. And I believe that we are in the pioneering stage right now to the body of Christ, to bring the file of God back to the body. Like you remember the story of Martin Luther, who brought salvation back by faith. I heard that Martin Luther, when he was a Catholic priest, he was taught that his salvation come by work. So at that time, they would beat one another up in the back to suffer like Christ. They really feel condemned all the time, and they have to give money to the church in order to buy salvation. Until one day Martin Luther read the Bible and found that the just will live by faith. The light came upon his spiritual eyes and say, "Oh, I'm not saved by buying salvation. I'm not saved by deeds, but I'm saved by faith." So he brought that back to the body of Christ. And then later on, many, many facets of truth come back to the body of Christ. I know that the issue of the file of God is nothing new. It has happened in the world, in the whole world, sporadically, in many places. But it's not spreading all over in the body of Christ. But I believe that in the end time, before we cater Jesus back into the world, before we welcome the second coming of Jesus Christ, he wants to prepare the church or his bride to be a beautiful bride, to be a holy bride, pure bride. Yes. The Bible compares the bride of Christ to a woman who get married and wear the white linen. White linen compared to purity is symbolic of purity. It is symbolic of the pure life. And I have learned that I cannot live a pure life without the file of God. Is that right? Like gold cannot be pure. The gold will have a lot of impurities if you just dig it out from the ground. But you need to put the gold through the fire to burn the dross and impurity up to the top. And then the goldsmith can scoop out the impurities until the gold becomes 100% pure. The same thing, God wants to clean up his church. God doesn't want the church to be full of sin and bondage, demonic influences, religions, and tradition. So he wants to really come and prepare his church or his bride to be a beautiful and pure bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I talk about this subject, which is something that God has given to me. In fact, one day I was in a revival service and a minister, an evangelist, lay hand on me and she prophesied on me. She didn't even know me at all. I was stranger to her. She lay hand on me and she said like this. She lay hand fire and she said, "Revivalist." She said like this to me. And when I fell down on the ground, the Lord spoke to me that that is a prophecy to you. You're going to travel all over the world to bring the file of God, to bring revival. You will become revivalists. So your main message will be about revival, about the file of God. So I know since that day on, I had the commission to do is to take a file of God to whatever church or whatever nation that welcome the file of God. Amen.
Amen.
And I myself have that experience. I came out from Buddhism. I remember in 1980, I learned about Jesus. I got saved. I invited Jesus into my life. And oh, it's wonderful to become a Christian. It's like coming back home and meeting the Father. I felt that day when I accepted Jesus Christ that I really met my real Father.
Amen.
And he is in heaven. It's a wonderful feeling and experience. Then I was trained by American missionaries in the Southern Baptist Missionary. I was trained to read the Bible, to study the Bible, to be in a fellowship, to be in a local church, to commit my life to a good local church, to serve, to use my gifts, and to be involved deeply, seeking the kingdom of God first, try to obey the Bible, obey the command of God, seeking the truth of God, and commit myself, seeking God first. On Sunday, I would seek to go to church first. In my job, I would seek God first. I did everything that the missionary and the pastor taught me. The word, the fellowship, go to church, serve God, giving 10% to the church. I did everything that I could. And then about 3 years later, I was filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. And then began to become a pastor of a local church in Thailand and later on in Seattle area. But with all these things that I have learned and practiced, I dedicated my life fully to do all those things without compromise. But I still face struggling inside me. I still feel that why, whatever God promises in the Bible, whatever God mentioned in the Bible, it never become materialized or become real to me. It's just more like a theory. It's more like a just good knowledge, good truth that decorate my brain. The Bible said that I should love my wife. I should be sensitive to my wife. But I could not love that much. I still have problem with relationship. The Bible said I should not worry, but I still worry. Even though I read the Bible, even though I preach the Word of God on Sunday, even though I did everything I could, I go to church, but I still feel like I always feel depressed sometimes, worry. Sometimes I feel down, and I see problems in my home, I see problems in myself, the physical health is not as strong. Why? Whatever mentioned in this Bible, it should be real. When Jesus said, thief does not come except to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I have come to give you an abundant life. But why didn't I see the abundant life? Why so struggling life? I mean, definitely, I don't say that Christians are not facing problems. We all face problems. Yeah. But we should be victorious. We should be living according to what the Bible says. Is that right? Yeah. I'm not talking about prosperity or money. That is minor issue in the eyes of God. I'm not emphasizing money. I'm not a prosperity teacher, but I believe in the wholeness that God wants to make us whole. Yeah. Do you remember in the book of 3 John, the letter of John, verse 2, 3 John has only one chapter. Yeah. Verse 2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. So the will of God is to see us having victory and abundant life in our physical health, in our finances, in our soul, our mind, and also in our spirit. But I did not see that. And I was struggling. Actually, tomorrow I will preach about the Magi, the wise men, tomorrow. And when I study about the life of Magi, I share with Pastor Da, my wife, that, wow, the same thing that happened to the Magi happened to me, exactly. The Magi were searching for Jesus, and they took the action. They were studying the scripture from the book of Daniel, and eventually God gave them the sign, the star, for them. Because look backward, they were searching. They were looking for something better. Is that right? Yes. And God showed them the scripture, and then God gave them the supernatural sign. And eventually they took action. They did not stay still. They get up on their horse, on their camels, and they went. And eventually, they met Jesus. Yeah. And that the same thing happened to me in around 1994, 95. I came to the point of my ministry and my Christian walk that there must be something more than this. This is not right. Mm-hmm. I read the Bible. I pastor the church. I try to be a good Christian. But something missing. Our family relationship, our marriage relationship is in jeopardy. We couldn't get along. Something wrong here. I did not see the abundant life. So I began to search for the answer. And at that time, I remember God gave me the desire to watch the TV program of Benny Hinn. At that time, I watched Benny Hinn program all the time, but I don't do now because I don't have time. But I think it's just a preparation. I watch how Benny Hinn moved in the power, and I say, wow, there must be the power of God there. Then one day I went to Toronto, to the Toronto revival, that I want to see what's going on. And I saw a lot of stuff happening there, and I kind of feel a little bit like overwhelmed and confused why there are people who bark and have animal voice and all this stuff. So I got on the airplane. I was like a magi. I was looking for the answer. But on the airplane, I told God that, God, is there something wrong around here? But there must be something that is real. And God said to me that, don't throw baby with the bath water. So you learn the right thing and don't take the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. At that time on, in 1996, I began to search for the answer. And God gave me the supernatural sign. Because around 1997, a pastor from Australia came to my church in Seattle, and he gave me some story about what revival happened in Australia. And the revelation came on me that I need to do something about this. So I flew and I drove to the meeting to learn about what the Holy Spirit tried to do. At that time, I didn't fully understand. And I began to experience the touch of the Spirit and the fire of God. Until only 2 years ago, I began to fully understand the subject. When I say fully, I don't mean I have arrived. I think God still teach me more. You understand what I mean? That when I say fully, mean I can teach now. Before that, I was just getting touched, but I didn't understand how to teach it. It's one thing to experience, but it's another thing to be able to explain and to teach people. You see what I mean? So 2 years ago, I began to understand more about the revival. And I tell you, since 1997, after we have been touched by the fire of God, I can see now that, number one, the body of Christ missed a big part of the Christian life. That's why Christians are struggling. That's why we see problem in the church. That's why we don't see the promise of God fulfilled. That's why we don't see the truth in the Bible become real in us. But after the fire of God touches, I want to say this sentence. God spoke to me actually 2 days ago while I was walking in the hospital. God said like this, the word of God is given to you, to Christian, to know what is right. But it will become real to you just because you try to do it. Yes, you need to try to repent and do it. That is your desire. But he said that it will become real to you, everything I say in my word, by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the fire of God. Amen. 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 Yes. Love your enemy. You cannot do it by your own strength. Yes. Even right. Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 7, the good things that I want to do, I don't do. But I do what I don't want to do, you see? Because we are human beings. Whatever God says in the Bible cannot really become real in our life except by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, Paul says, walk by the Spirit. In the past, before I understand about the fire of God, I thought the word Spirit is a theological term to me. Oh, the Holy Spirit, yeah. I have the Holy Spirit. I walk by the Spirit, but I did not fully understand because I did not have experience. It's one thing to preach from theory, but it's another thing to teach from both the theological truth and from your own experience. It's totally different, I tell you. And many times I learned that the theology that you learn in the church will be changed after you have more experience. The truth of God is so vast, so deep. And we know this much, we know a little bit. And sometimes because of our limited experience, we interpret the Bible one way. Until God give us new experience. And we can see the Bible deeper out of that experience. And after that, you can prove again and again that that theological, the new truth that comes into your life, the new revelation that comes into your life, can be backed up by the experiences. In other words, the real truth must be backed up by experiences. Yes, we should not walk by experience. The experiences of Christian life must be backed up by the Word.
Yes.
But if the theological truth that you preach is true, it must be backed up by the experiences.
Yes.
Christian life is a life of experience. Yes. It's not just head knowledge.
Yes.
Is that right?
That's right?
Okay, I just want to be clear about this. I learn from experience, and then I find out that, when the Bible says, walk by the Spirit. It doesn't mean that just theologically or theoretically that the Spirit is in me and then the Spirit will help me. I walk with the Spirit. It's all theory. It's just knowledge. But after the fire come and touch me, after the real person, you know, the fire is compared like this. When you talk about the Holy Spirit in most Christian community, if you're talking about a drop of water, just one drop, a little bit of the Holy Spirit. But when I talk about a fire, we are talking about going into the rivers and swimming in the river. It's a big river. Everywhere is the water. Everywhere is the Spirit of God. And you can feel it. You can sense it on your skin that the water is on you. It's not just one drop on your skin. It's like big Holy Ghost. Big person, he is real.
Yes.
He is real, and he's in you, and you can feel him. You can you know, that's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
The fire of God means the big
Hallelujah.
Holy Ghost in you, and
yes.
you can feel him inside
yes.
of you, and you can walk with him. It's a real walk because you sense the Holy
yes.
Spirit. You know Holy Spirit is there,
yes.
and you can commune with him and fellowship with him, and he can lead you. And he not only lead you, but he inside you, empower you and change you from the inside and do something on the inside to make whatever the Word of God say become so real in you step by step. That's what I'm talking about. Is that right? I'm not talking about theory here. I'm talking about real relationship with the Holy Spirit. In fact, when I read about the Magi, tomorrow I will preach this again, but yes, today is a summary.
Preview.
This is preview. While I was reading this sermon, God spoke to me. It's interesting. The Jews were looking for the Father. Is that right?
Yes.
And in order to meet the Father, you need to meet Jesus. You cannot know the Father without knowing Jesus. And that was in the New Testament. But now that is a connection. I'm sorry, I'd say it this way. There is a connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament. You can know the Father or the Jehovah Jireh through Jesus Christ. But now we are living in the book of Acts. Actually, we are writing the more chapter of the book of Acts right now. The book of Acts has not finished yet.
Yeah,
it's finished for our generation, but when you go to heaven, we have another books up there. And you're going to be in that book because we are writing more book of Acts right now. Whatever happened in the book of Acts can happen today. Amen. So we are living in the book of Acts. So the Magi looking for Jesus to know the Father. But how about our life today in the New Testament church? We already know the Father through Jesus. We know Jesus already. Is that right? At that time, the Jews could meet Jesus personally. Face to face talking, and Jesus tried to lead them to the Father. Now we are in the church. We try to know both the Father and Jesus. We already know the Father through Jesus, but Jesus is not on earth. We need to know Jesus through somebody.
Yes.
Think about it. Chad, you're sitting here, I can know you personally. Is that right? Because you're sitting here physically, I can talk to you. But if the next generation, we all pass away, who's going to lead that next generation to know you? It's impossible they can talk to you anymore because you've gone in heaven. The same thing with Jesus. He's gone. There must be somebody that will lead us to know Jesus in a deeper way and to know the Father through Jesus. And who is that person?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. The book of John says the Holy Spirit was given to the world to glorify the Son.
Amen.
My dear brother and sister, if the church is not welcoming the Holy Spirit, the church will end up worshiping their own name, their own organization, their own vision, their own methods, methodology, their own name. Oh, I am so and so. Instead of I am a disciple of Jesus, they will call themselves I am so and so, the name of their organization. They may emphasize the name of the church, but if you are full with the Holy Spirit, you can emphasize Jesus. Yes. Is that right? Yes. You don't emphasize your organization. Yes. You don't build organization anymore. I'm not building organization. I just went to Thailand with 1,100 people come to the meeting. And with 90 pastors all over Thailand, I told all of them, I'm not here to build any more organization. You have enough already. I'm not going to build another organization to create. In fact, listen carefully. If you create another organization, you're going to create another division. If we all talk about Jesus, we will be in unity. Yeah. But if we start to emphasize A group, B group, group A, group B, group this and this and that, and my leader is that and this, we're going to be Apollos and Pauls and, you know, have a lot of sects. We call sects a lot of groups and cause division in the body. So I'm not interested in building any organization. I'm interested in building the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. The church that loves Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes. That's all we need. We need to see people love Jesus. And the only person can help people to love Jesus is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So I believe that if you cannot make a pizza without cheese, you cannot make rice soup without some fish sauce, if you cannot make jajangmyeon without vegetable, if you cannot make steak without oil, you cannot be a church of the Lord Jesus Christ or become a full Christian person, full disciple of Jesus Christ without the fire of God.
Amen.
It's a big missing part of the body of Christ right now. I'm not looking down on Bible study. We need to have Bible study.
Yes.
We need to have church.
Yes.
We need to have fellowship.
Yes.
We need to have organization. We need to have administration in the church. All these things we still continue to have. But we need to add into the church the real presence of the fire of God.
Amen.
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 And actually that is mentioned in the Bible. In fact, while I was worshiping a while ago, God showed me this. Sometimes the liberation comes in the time of worship when God show up. He showed me this. I will read the Bible later on. He showed me this. Do you believe that the Old Testament is the shadow of the New Testament?
Yeah.
It's a shadow that's going to happen to us. If you learn about the Old Testament, the main character that looked like Jesus in the Old Testament is Moses. Moses and Joshua, both of them. But Moses is the main character to take people out of Egypt, out of bondage and chain, into the promised land, into freedom. Is that right?
Correct.
Jesus did the same thing to us. And now we are doing the job of Jesus. We need to do the same thing. We are Moses in this generation.
Yes.
We were born for such a time as this.
Yes.
If we don't do this job, who else is going to do it?
Mm.
We need to do the job. So if you study about the life of Moses carefully, it started with the fire. And if you look in the book of Acts, it started with the fire. Think about it. Moses went up to the mountain and he encountered the fire of God at the burning bush on Mount Sinai. You notice that since that day, he was a changed man. And because he was encountering the fire of God, he was empowered to lead the children of Israel,
yes,
out of Egypt by supernatural power and manifestation.
Amen.
And notice that one thing. Why the leader of Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt? So many things happened in the desert, in the wilderness. Provision, is that right?
Yes.
They have provision, the manna and the quail. They have protection. The fire of God came, then the army of Pharaoh was destroyed. The fire came, they could not go. It was blocked by the fire, the pillar of fire, and then later on into the Red Sea. While they were walking in the wilderness toward the promised land, where the voice of God come from? The Bible says the voice of God came in the fire. Wow! The whole journey of the children of Israel to the promised land. You know, we are right now, we are going to the promised land. That's definitely the final promised land is heaven. But we can enter into the promised land little by little on earth here with good health, prosperity, success, good family, everything. We are entering. While we are entering the promised land, we need the same thing. We need the word, the Ten Commandments. We need good leader, Moses. We need a church, we need community, and we need the fire. And in that fire, you know, a lot of time people quote the Bible in the book of Deuteronomy. Oh, God protect you, God provide you. But they miss one thing. All these things happen with the pillar of the fire at night and the pillar of the cloud during the day. So now, in other words, these people were walking in the glory of God, in that fire, in the presence of God all the time, all the days of their life, every single day. And that is the shadow of the Christian today. You see now how much God's people in the church miss today. They miss the fire. They try to enter the promised land with just a drop of water of the Holy Spirit, but they don't want the fire of God. But you know what? This is a problem. Because people are so intellectual. People are still full of pride. The problem is that when the fire of God comes, it's look messy in the eyes of religion and the eyes of organization. Because people are going to fall all over the place. People are going to laugh. People are going to check. And all this stuff. The fire of God comes, you're going to see physical manifestation. And then it's scary. People, if you read the book of Exodus, you will find out that when the fire of God show up at the mountain, there are two group of people. One group of people ran toward the fire. Moses and Joshua ran to the fire. But the Bible said that the children of Israel pull back. You know why pull back? Because one of the things about the fire is that when you enter the fire, you need to repent and live a holy life. And that's why most churches don't want to welcome the fire. Because if you welcome the fire, it means you need to clean your act up.
Yes,
you need to repent. Right. You need to make sure that you allow the Holy Spirit to deal with you, to kick demon out of you, to stop the old lifestyle, to really take serious about God in the fire. Moses start with the fire. Moses took them out, led them into promised land with the fire. How about the early church? Definitely, Jesus did not need the fire that much because he's already full of the fire himself. But the disciple, human being, how did the early church start? In the upper room, and what happened? The baptism with fire. And after that, Paul, Peter, all these people went out and ministered in the fire of God.
Amen.
Paul even said to Timothy in the book of Timothy that, stir up the fire on the inside of you. So actually, the early church Christian, they understand about the issue I'm talking about here that has been missing in the body of Christ for many centuries. I want the presence of God. And I want pioneering. I want to see new people come in and get touched by fire and live the life like in the book of Acts. I don't want the old way anymore. I don't want tradition anymore. I've gone beyond that now. I cannot come back to Egypt. I have gone out of Egypt. And I have been walking with a pillar of fire long enough that I cannot go back to Egypt.
Yes.
So I rather come to and be in the fire of God here. I want to be somewhere, even small, that people are hungry for God.
Yes. Amen.
But listen carefully. I will read the scripture in a while. Listen carefully. In other words, we are not looking for big organization, nice building, nice carpet. I'm looking for people who are hungry, people who welcome the fire of God. Definitely every church wants to read the Bible. Every church wants to have Bible study. Every church wants to have fellowship. But the missing part is the fire. I rather join the small church that won the fire, but this, okay, listen carefully. It will not stay small.
Yeah.
This church will never stay small.
Amen.
It will grow.
Amen.
Because wherever the fire is, people who are hungry are going to come in. And eventually the church will grow big. Eventually you're going to have a big building. Eventually you have a nice carpet. Eventually the business people are going to come in. Eventually millions of dollars are going to come into this church. Because wherever the fire is, prosperity will come too.
Amen.
You remember when the children of Israel left Egypt. I'm not opening the Bible, read the Bible, but I can say whatever I say is in the Bible, okay? It's in the Bible. When the children of Israel left Egypt, did they lack anything? Their shoes are not even worn out. They have food. They have everything that they need. The Egyptian even gave them gold and silver so that they can go and build the tabernacle. Yeah. So remember the story of the house of Obed-Edom. The house of Obed-Edom, the story is that King David tried to carry the Ark of the Covenant back to the city of David. Why they're carrying, but they came the wrong way. According to the Old Testament law, in order to get the Ark of the Covenant, they need to put a pole and then four men will carry. In other words, God tried to say this. Man, human being, will carry the presence of God. Not animal, not materials. The Ark of the Covenant represents the glory, the thick presence of God or the fire of God. So they need to carry, but King David made a mistake. He put the Ark of the Covenant on the cart with the animal pulling. So God was upset that you break the law. So what happened? The cart tripped and the Ark was going to fall. So one man touched the Ark to hold it and he died. God punished him. So you can see that in the church with revival, with the fire of God, you cannot play a game. I cannot cheat money. I cannot commit adultery. I cannot come in with pride here to build my own kingdom. Believe me, eventually if I play game with God like that in the fire, it's going to be like Ananias, Sapphira. People can drop dead.
Yes.
That's why a lot of pastors don't want to deal with the fire, because it's going to be a big revival, but at the same time, big punishment if you play game with God and use the name of God to build your own kingdom. That man touched the ark and he dropped dead. King David was scared. So he took the ark, which represents the fire of God, represents the glory. The word glory in the Hebrew language is kabod. Yes. Kabod means thick, wealthy presence of God, which is the same thing as the fire of God. The thick presence, the tangible presence of God. That when he touched you, you feel it. You shake, you laugh, you cry, you have sensation on your body. So when the Ark of the Covenant went into that house, the house of Obed-Edom, who was not even a Jew, he was a Gentile. You know what happened during those few months? The Bible says the whole house was blessed and prosperous. To the point that King David was so jealous, said, I want to take it back. So he sent his people to take the Ark back to the city of David. I have no doubt at all, the church that welcomed the presence of God, the fire of God, will eventually be full of finances, wisdom, anointing, manpower.
Amen.
Your church will never stay the same.
Amen.
It will grow.
Amen.
If you don't give up and
yes.
you keep welcoming the fire of God.
Amen.
But. The Lord just spoke to me prophetically a few minutes ago. He said like this, if you grow big, if you have a nice building one day, you have a nice choir, nice worship team, a lot of pastor, a lot of ministry, reach the world, you become wealthy financially. Don't forget the fire of God. Don't forget that day in that schoolroom, in this small room with a cheap chair, with a cheap carpet, with nothing. Because you come to that point by my fire.
Amen.
Don't back off from the fire.
Yes.
Don't back off from the presence of God. Don't fear man and say, I'm not going to lay hand anymore. I'm not going to move in the Holy Spirit to please all these rich people. No. You get to that point because of His presence.
Yes.
Amen. So I want to say this prophetically to myself and to you.
Yes.
Because I know that the church will keep growing and the church will keep being blessed by God. But we cannot forget His presence. We cannot become conceited and prideful and eventually say, oh, hey, this is my success. This is, oh, how great we are. And we forget that, in fact, we are nothing. We are nothing without His presence. We are just human beings. Every good thing that happened in the church, in your life, come by the Holy Spirit. We need to continue to be humble. We need to continue to be like children. When I say children, I don't mean childish. I mean like children. We need to continue to be hungry. We need to continue to just press in and seek God, no matter how big we are, all the days of our life.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Actually, to be filled or to be baptized or to be marinated in the fire of God is a command of Jesus Christ. Look at this in Matthew chapter 3, verses 11 to 12. I talk a lot before I read the scripture because I feel that, you know, all this thing is in the Bible anyway, but I just want to explain to you. I read scripture, otherwise those who listen to this CD thought that this pastor never read the Bible. Matthew 3, 11 to 12. I indeed baptize you in with water. This is from Amplified Bible. Because of repentance. That is because of your changing your minds for the better. Heartily amending your ways. With abhorrence of your past sins. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy or fit to take off or carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The Bible did not say with the Holy Spirit or with fire. The Bible said and. Meaning it's a difference between with the Holy Spirit alone and with the fire of God. Many of us has been baptized with the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. But have we been baptized with the fire of God? Why the fire came? His winnowing fan, shovel, fork is in his hand. There are many terms in the Bible that are used to symbolize the Holy Spirit. So in other words, the Holy Spirit come into the world to minister to us in a different ministry. The dove, gentleness. The wind mean the direction, the resting, the restful feeling. When you follow the wind of God, it's like an eagle. You just put your wing up and then you just jump out of the cliff and you just flow and guide by the wind and you relax. You just rest. Is that right?
Yeah.
So when the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit, about the wind, we're talking about the guidance, about don't worry, just relax and let's follow God. You don't need to be heavy burden too much. Is that right? You just flow. This morning when I woke up, I just relax. I don't worry what I'm going to say today. You know what? The Holy Spirit. I just put my spiritual wing up. And then the word will come out from my mouth and you just follow the Holy Spirit. I relax today. I don't have to worry what I'm going to do in this city. Because the wind of God going to guide me. The Holy Spirit is talking about what else? It's talking about water. About rivers. Rivers talking about what? Cleansing. Refreshing. The Holy Spirit will come and refresh you. Actually, in the airplane, God was speaking to me. One thing. He said like this to me. He said, tell the church, tell my people in Seattle, have a drink. I was sitting in the airplane. God said to me, tell the people, have a drink. You notice that people like to go have fun in a nightclub?
Yeah.
Why might people go and go drink alcohol? They want to what? Have a good time. Many of my patients who have pain, some people have chronic pain in their back, in their leg, their neck. Oh, terrible pain. Fibromyalgia, they take morphine. Many of them say that when they go home, they have to sit on their reclining chair and they just get a little bit of whiskey and wine and just relax. They have a drink to relax. Christian, we don't need that whiskey. We don't need that wine. We have the new wine of heaven. We have the drink of the Holy Spirit. We don't need to live in pain and sickness. We can drink the wine of God. So it means refreshing, strength, and just rejuvenating yourself with the wine of God. Is that right? But when the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit, in the symbolism of the fire, it's a different area now. What is the area? His winnowing fan, shovel, fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear out and clean his threshing floor and gather and store his wheat in his barn, and the chaff he will burn up. Fire, talk about burn, is that right?
Yes.
With fire that cannot be put out. So, you have three kinds of fire to choose. Number one, the fire now. That Jesus sent fire to the church and burn and clean out the chaff. And I'm going to explain to you what are the chaff. Two, the second fire is the fire at the throne of Jesus. That in the world, you don't want the fire. You keep demon inside you. You keep sin inside you. You keep bad things inside you. You keep religion inside you. The pride, the self-righteousness, all this stuff, all the sin in your life. Gossiping, hating, division. The church have divided people, don't like each other, all these things. When you go up to heaven and you meet Jesus at the throne, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there will be another fire to burn all of your rewards. You go into the heaven with only haze and stubble, but not gold and silver. Because you serve God with wrong motive, with wrong attitudes, with sin in your life. And the third fire, I believe no one wants to be there. The fire of hell. Which fire you want? I believe you want the fire now.
Yes.
Because when you get to the throne room of God, when you get to the mercy seat of Jesus Christ, the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, it's already burned before there. So you're going to go in with gold, silver, and with the crown on your head. Amen. And you enter with a pure heart, and you can stand before Jesus and say, I have been burned already in the church. I don't need any more burning. I come here like a pure gold. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes.
Amen.
So that's why the devil doesn't want the fire of God to be in the church today. He knows if he cannot get you in hell, at least he can get you miss the reward in heaven.
That's right.
Is that right? So he used religion to talk against the fire. You know what? If you have the fire, you don't need to control people anymore.
Amen.
I can lead this church two ways. Number one way, I use my pastoral authority, my human muscle. You must go to care group. You must do this. If you don't do this, you're not a good member. You're a poor Christian. You're a bad disciple. I can do that way. And many times, if you don't follow the fire of God, you have to do that way. Because you deal with human. But if the fire of God move, what happened? People cannot sit still. The fire burn like a rocket. The rocket, if the fire come out from the tail of the rocket, what rocket gonna do? Shoot out into the space. The same thing when you have the fire. You cannot sit still. I didn't listen because I didn't have the ear set. Yeah. I saw the movie about American football, and I saw that they practice American football, and they teach like this. They move like this. They move their leg like this, you know. And I was sitting. This is like people in the fire. Yeah. Like, you cannot sit still. You're like in the, you know, in physically in the body. You don't do that, but inside you, the spirit inside is like this. I cannot sit still. I need to run. I need to catch the ball. You know what I mean? So you don't need to force anybody to go to care group. You don't need to force anybody to serve. They cannot sit still.
Hallelujah.
They're going to come to you. I love you, Pastor. They're going to come and, I love people. What can I serve? How can I do? I want to visit people. You know? So the pastor will have less job.
Amen.
We don't have to run around chasing people.
Hallelujah.
They're going to call out and win the world for Christ.
Amen.
By the fire of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Please do it again tomorrow.
like, do like
all
this.
The morning.
Have you ever seen people practice the football? I don't know, they move their knee like this. Something I cannot do like them. It just move and then move the body. Yeah, yeah, they're like this, like this. Okay, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, that's funny.
So I feel like that by myself inside me, like, I cannot sit still. I need to do something. So you see that everything I see is about the fire. Even in the movie, think about, oh, the fire of God like that. Oh, man. So the fire of God come to do what? To burn. Burn what? Our Christian life, actually a few days ago, I read the Bible. The Bible say in James chapter 3, verses 13 to 15, who is wise and understanding among you, let him show by good conduct that his work are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. The Bible talk about a few areas that affect us. Number one, the area of the flesh. Number two, the area of demonic. And number three, the area of the world. There are three things that affect us. Demonic, the flesh, yourself, and the world system. It's so clear. The Apostle Paul talk about that in the Bible, about the world, the flesh, and demonic. In other words, the things that we do in our life, the outside, what will we do? It can be influenced by your own flesh, yeah. Sinful nature. Or it can be influenced by demonic power inside us. Or it can be influenced by the world system. You follow the world system and you do it. So the fire of God come to clean those things. It burned our sin. Burn our sin, the flesh inside. The flesh will die down. And the spirit will rise up more. It will burn demon out of you. When I lay hand on people, a lot of time I can see demon come out from them. Yeah, demon just come out. And each time demon come out more and more, less demon. And eventually people will get better because they have less demon in them. Or eventually clean up, no more demons. So the fire of God come and chase demon out. The fire of God come and burn, kill the flesh. The fire of God come and also burn the stronghold of the thinking of the world. You know, we are influenced by the thoughts of the devil that come through the world system. So it burn out those things to make us what? Pure. So less flesh, less demonic, less worldly system. And what happened? What is more inside us? The Holy Spirit. So everything will be done in the Spirit. So what happened? The result of this will produce holiness, purity, long-lasting fruit, glory to Jesus Christ. You produce the disciple around you, the people around you will have pure heart like you, because people around you are going to become like you. That's why God needs to deal with you first. Because whatever you do out of pure heart. You don't do out of demonic influence inside you. You know, sometimes people can do good in the name of God, but with the wrong motive. Build your own kingdom. Oh, I want to build my organization name. If you leave my organization, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. You're not my Christian friend anymore. I've seen that in my life. If you leave, those people who leave become the enemy. Well, why? We are Christian. We are all Christ's disciple. Why that's we become right. enemy? Because the leader have the spirit, demonic spirit of building his own kingdom, religious spirit. You see? And you see this in the body of Christ a lot. You know, in the body of Christ. Why? Because the fire of God never been invited to come and burn all this thing out. I don't say that God going to burn all this thing out overnight. It may take some time. Each time you come to church, the Holy Spirit touch you. He will burn something out of you. He will get rid of something in you that next time you burn again, little by little, he cannot fix you overnight because you cannot handle anyway. So many things inside you that God need to deal with you little by little. That's why I believe that, like the 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18, talking about God want to change us to become like Christ, from glory to glory. Is that right?
Yes.
By who? By the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:18. He changes from glory to glory to glory by the Spirit of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
This is a kind of overview of why we need the fire of God in the church.
Yeah.
Amen.
Let's get burned.
Let's get burned. You're not hungry for food? You're hungry for the Spirit, huh? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We all come from different backgrounds. We all come with different level of hunger. And please, when you come into the fire of God, please don't compare yourself with other people. Don't focus on the physical manifestation. Just focus on being hungry and allowing God, surrendering to God to change you. And like the Bible say in the book of Ezekiel that God compare the things of the Holy Spirit entering into the things of the Spirit as ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, and then the whole body into the river and swim in the rivers of God. The same thing with the fire of God. Some of you may be new. You may be at the level of ankle deep. Some people may be in this for a long time, so they are more sensitive and they are deeper. So they may have more response to the Holy Spirit. But let's just get deeper and deeper in the things of God. Amen.
Amen.
Please don't compare yourself with other people.
Amen.
Because you come from different backgrounds at different level, and we just focus on how you're going to go deeper
yes.
today.
Yes.
And don't look at other people.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the word of the Holy Spirit today. The word that's full of life to change life, Lord. Father, please impart your Spirit into the life of your people today. May the fire of God burn in this church. May the fire of God spread. May you bring people in who are hungry for the things of God into this house. Lord, use this church to build your kingdom in the end time like this. We bless you. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.